Today on Real Life Radio.
You say, well, a woman can take care of myself. I'm my own woman. I can take care of myself. We're sure you can take care of yourself. But God has established a protocol that a man, especially, listen, in the presence of danger, spiritual or physical, that a man takes the hit.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, A Church Under Repair. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the unity, the growth, and the witness of the church. You see, when it comes to the church, all things are to be done decently, in good order, and we need to make sure that we have the Lord's plan in mind. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that when the church is operating with humble obedience and God's holy wisdom, together we can finish the work that God has called us to do. Now with his message called A Church Under Repair, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You need to read the old to understand the new, and the new absolutely answers to the old. God's Old Testament is holy, pure Bible. It's how we approach it. When we approach it wrongly, we get goofy. They had the Old Testament, and they were to judge the service by the presence of the Holy Spirit, which had been given, using the Old Testament scriptures. God establishes, or I should say, fulfills his promise of the old in the new. It's very amazing. I'll give you a verse for this. You ready? Are you guys okay? Here we go. A verse for this is Romans 15:4. I love this verse. Next time somebody says, I don't want to read the Old Testament, give them Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written beforehand, the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, Old Testament, might have hope. Isn't that great? For example, where is this? Old or New Testament? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you to me. New or old? Old. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Old or new? Old, technically both. But it started in the old. It's repeated in the new. God says, I will not only save the hearts of those Jews who turn to me in faith, but the Gentile world will seek me and rejoice, and they'll be in the kingdom of God. Old and New Testament. Old. God having a son sent to earth. Where did you hear that first? Old or new? Old. That God would establish the nation of Israel two times in the Old and the New Testament era. Book of Isaiah. Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? Resurrection from the dead. Where's that? Old. You and I seeing God in our flesh someday. Where's that? Old Testament. Book of Job. We could go on all day. I'm sorry. I'm yelling at you. I get excited about this. But we need to be like the Bereans. Remember the Bereans in Acts chapter 17? This is what you need to do regarding the gifts, regarding Christian radio, regarding Christian TV, regarding every sermon in this church and everybody you listen to. Acts 17:10 says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Is that awesome? I love that. Please don't be swayed by some famous person who says something in the name of Christianity, and you go, well, I didn't know that. The reason why you didn't know that is because the Holy Spirit doesn't teach that. I saw some guy, I'm not going to tell you who he is, short guy, he's a little short. Anyway, this guy is very flashy, and I'm sure he just arrived in his Learjet to speak at the conference for everybody, because he said so. And he said, if you didn't have a Learjet, it's because you don't have enough faith. Yeah, I have it on tape. And he strutted up and down that stage, and he's got his ring right there, and he's flashing it in the... And he said, when I look at the scriptures, I see myself just like God. When God said to Moses, I am, well, I just walk right on up and I look in the face of God and I say, I am too. Did you know that's heresy? Did you know that that's enough to get you thrown into hell? To take the name of God and say that's you. But you know what? Man, the dude's rich. He's famous. I mean, come on. Let's follow him. Jesus said, broad is the way, and many there are on that path that leads to destruction. But few there be who find the way of eternal life, and narrow is that way. This is serious stuff. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, the Bible says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. What a great, great lesson that is to us. Next thing is this, making sure that everything is in place. For God, it says here in verse 33, is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Don't need to belabor that. If there is a church service and it is just crazy, which is what was happening at Corinth, Paul is telling them, you guys, when you come to church and your enthusiasm and your emotions are running high and you got everybody speaking in tongues, everybody's prophesying, everybody's got this going on, everyone's singing, it's a madhouse. He says, listen, God is not the author of confusion. Point number two this morning is a church under repair, verses 34 to 38 is this, in need of operation or operational to be a useful church. It begins this way. Hang on to your seats. I'm so glad nobody left yet, because here's the biggie. Operationally, look at this. We're to be operating with honorable conduct. Verse 34 and 35, let your women keep silent in the church. And I'm so tempted to say, and all the men said amen. But that's not what it means. For they are not permitted to speak. That sounds harsh, but don't worry. But they are to be submissive, as the law also says. Old Testament. For if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Let me tell you what it does not mean. Paul has already, if you've been with us through this study, you already know that Paul has already addressed the ministry of women in the church, that it's fantastic. Paul the apostle, listen up, speaks more in support of women in the New Testament than any other New Testament figure. Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans commends female deacons who have been such a blessing to him. He's the one who talks, writing to Timothy, and says, godly women are amazing, a tremendous asset, and they need to be a blessing to others. No problem. Then what's going on? We're talking Corinth, not Chino Hills. We're talking Corinth, not Cincinnati. The Corinthian church and the era in which they lived. Check this out. Pretty fun study. I encourage you to do it on your own. Number one, let's do this. When he says, in accordance with the law, that's the entire Old Testament. What is that? That a woman is to have as a protecting covering over her life, technically, a man. The Bible here in the English says husband. So a single woman might say, well, this doesn't apply to me. I don't have a husband. Now, the word means a man, a father, maybe a loving uncle, maybe a grandpa, someone spiritual, a leader over your life to pray for you, love on you, take care of you, watch out for you. The Bible says God has established that, and God says it is good. You say, well, a woman can take care. I'm my own woman. I can take care of myself. Well, sure, you can take care of yourself. But God has established a protocol that a man, especially, listen, in the presence of danger, spiritual or physical, that a man takes the hit. I love to shoot guns. My daughters love to shoot guns. We own guns. We love guns. It's a blast. That was truly, I didn't mean to do that. You know what's pretty disheartening? Is to go out there as a man, come on kids, come on. And I can hardly hit the side of a barn. Women are much better aims than men are by far. Women, my daughters are great shots. Great shots. Listen, all you men out there, my daughters are great shots. Anyway, women can do a lot of things better than men. Has nothing to do with this. Remember when the Bible says that a man is to be a head, the husband's to be head of his wife? That means, the word means that he's the first one sacrificed on the block. Did you know that? It doesn't mean he struts around, be submissive, woman, don't you know I'm the head? Oh yeah, why don't you keep reading, buddy? The Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. Fill it in all the way. Keep reading. Well, I believe my woman should submit. Well, if she reads her Bible, she believes you should die to yourself. Right?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
We're to have honorable conduct. There's a spiritual order. By the way, any culture where the Bible has gone has always exalted the life of a woman. New Testament, Old Testament, listen, that is true globally, has been true for over 2,000 years. By the way, for that matter, slavery, women's rights, child's rights, all came from those who argued from their Christian worldview perspective to have the laws changed. Did you know that? If you know your American history, like Kirk Cameron's trying to get you to know, like David Barton's trying to get you to know, you'll know that. The abolitionist movement came because there were three predominantly white guys who said, the Bible says no to this, we gotta stop this. Dr. Benjamin Rush, some guy by the name of Thomas Jefferson, and some other guy by the name of Benjamin Franklin. Pretty amazing, huh? No, listen, here's the biggest punchline of it all. The women in the church at Corinth were like women in any other location in that culture, and it was this. Because of traditions of men, not Bible, they were held underfoot and they were uneducated. They were not allowed to be educated. So here's what was happening in the church. Men sat on one side. By the way, a lot of Middle Eastern Christian churches still do this. I know Russian churches that do this. All the men sit on one side. All the women sit on another side. And what was happening when someone was speaking the word of God, let's say, you know, Paul's teaching, a woman would stand up and say, hey, I don't know this stuff. What's he saying? We don't get it. Girls, right? We don't get it? We don't get it. We don't get it. They would interrupt the service right there. And Paul is saying, shh. Ask your husband at home when you get there. Can you imagine how long a service would be if these women started? No, I don't get it. Explain that to me. Listen, by the way, guys. The women were to go home, fathers, uncles, grandpas, if this is your life and you're responsible for young ears, husbands, wives, listen. Look what it says. God views the husband or the man in Christianity as the primary teacher of the woman at home. He's to disciple the home. The man is to do this. Christian men are to be doing this. It's the Christian man that's to take up his Bible and say, hey, kids, come over here. I say this because I believe you should walk around your backyard or at the park. I'm not joking. With your Bible open, telling your kids all about the grass, all about the rocks and the trees. And a man should do the same thing regarding his wife or his daughter. Open up the Word of God. I think the church is sick today because men are not doing this. And I think women are being led astray because they don't have a spiritual covering over their lives like they need. Very, very important. The next thing is a humble obedience. Verses 36 to 37, he says, oh my, this is tough. Listen to him spank them. Or did the word of God come originally from you? You hear that sarcasm? It's pretty thick. This is for real. This is a Greek satire. That's what it means. He is saying to them, huh, you think you know so much, running around screaming and yelling and doing all the stuff that you so independently, and you're saying things, oh, God told me. Sorry, can't help myself, Paul. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me. He says to them, did the word of God originally come from you? Or was it you only that it reached? Who do you think you guys are, he's saying. He's rebuking them. I like that. It's cool. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul is saying, all right, Corinthian church, you're out of control in your operation of the gifts. And what I've just taught, you should know by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I've been speaking the truth to you. And get off your high horse. You're operating independently. You're saying things, listen, you guys, and I have to hurry. You're saying things like this. I know the Bible says this, but I really feel like doing the other thing. I know the Bible is really black and white about this issue, but I think I'm going to. And what's your justification? You will say, the Lord told me, don't you? I'm not saying you. You guys are awesome. I'm talking about some other church, other Christians. Well, I know I'm married, you know, but that guy I just met at the gym, he's really cute, and he makes me happy. And I know the Bible says that I'm not to get a divorce, but I prayed about it, and I think the Lord wants me happy. You know how many times I've heard this? It's pathetic. Emotionally based theology, trumping the truth of God's word by how we feel. It is a shipwreck waiting to happen. Obedience. I made this up. Corinthian Titus is what they had, and we have to be careful we don't have it. The next thing in verse 38 is wisdom, holy wisdom. In need of operation or operational as a church and being repaired is holy wisdom. He says, but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. I don't need to talk about this. This is brilliant. Paul simply says, and the word means this, I'll read it to you exactly. Listen to this. The Greek word is agneo. And it means to elect, not to know. It means to willfully be uninformed. Hey, you want to know something about the instruction manual? Don't tell me. Isn't that funny? Things not working out right for you? No, it's, everything's falling apart. Do you want to know the truth? Don't know. Don't. Isn't that funny? You say, I would never say that. But emotionally, we struggle with that. I mean, come on. You guys, if God ripped open this roof right now and said, I want to speak to each of you. Get in line. I want to speak to each of you alone, and I'm going to reveal your hearts. Exactly as I know it. And the Bible says that we even know our own hearts. Would there not be a huge dread that comes upon you in a sense? Think about it. What's he gonna find? I don't even know. You'd go through like a major motive check. Right? What about that? What about this? Wouldn't you? And yet that day's coming. And Paul is saying, if you don't want to know, then stay dumb. Ignoramus is where this word comes from. It can be known, but you choose not to know. In a church. Wow. Third and final point, verses 39 to 40. It's very simple. It's in conclusion. A church under repair is in need of completion. Duh. Pretty obvious, huh? You know how we finish buildings? We're still trying to finish this building. You work at it. Sometimes it takes time. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about us. I mean, as a building. I'm talking about us, right, as people. We are not yet completed, are we? Not one of us. When you see somebody that's really self-aware, impressed, self-righteous. They'll always be a legalistic person, very impressed with themselves. They're a legend in their own mind. It's pretty fantastic. And they see themselves as complete. And they use verses in part. Well, the Bible says I'm sanctified. It's past tense, you know. It means I'm sanctified. Yes, it does mean you're sanctified. In heaven, you're sanctified. That means when God looks at you, you're perfect. Isn't that weird? Okay, that's wild. He has set you, he's taken you out of this world and has placed you into his kingdom, and you are complete in Christ. Okay, that's true. Positionally, that's what the book of Romans is all about. You're perfect in the mind and the eyes of God. But it doesn't take an Albert Einstein to figure out that you and I are not perfect in the sight of one another. So either A, we have a real contradiction here, and the Bible's wrong, or we are practically being sanctified among one another. You understand that? In heaven, it's done. Right? It's done. Right now, we're family, warts and all. And we got to get along. You have to make up with one another. You have to say, I'm sorry. We have to say, please forgive me. I was rude to you. Why is that? Because we are being sanctified at the same time. And what that means is this, we are en route to completion in this life and in this world. In church, what that means to us is this. En route to growing up, you and I are to experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it's not all about the gifts. It's about edifying one another. And if from now on I begin to say, Robin, this is awesome about your life. You're always so encouraging. You are so always, you always have a great word for me. And it's not only me, Robin. I know that you've said that to other people. You have a great word. We all need that, as long as it's true, right? We need to start looking at in the building up of one another and saying it. We should never be, well, I mean, come on, you know I love you, right? No, tell me. As a church, three things, we're done. Verse 39, we're to be united together for the completion. Together, we finish the job that God has given us. Gosh, I think this is amazing. I love this. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Why? Because the more the word of God goes out, the radio, Bible studies. Why do you guys spend so much time on Bible study? Because it builds people up. You want to come. What did you come for? The Bible. We come to worship God because it's in the Bible. We come to study because it's in the Bible. We want to know there's something about the word of God going out that unites us. That's one of the hallmarks of a true believer. I want Bible. Secondly, together we become all growed up. Okay? I even spelled it like that. See that? Growed up. Together we become all growed up. You know any Christians who are sitting it out? I'm not going anywhere. They got 1,000 reasons, and probably 1,000 reasons we would agree with as to why they don't go to church. But there's one that trumps it. God says, keep assembling together, Hebrews 10:25. God says, I don't care, you keep gathering together. In fact, as you get closer to the end, get together more. Why? That's how we grow up. You'll never grow unless you get involved, fellowship, and be committed to a church. Look, if you don't want to get committed to this church, I frankly don't care. For your spiritual development, go get committed to a church and grow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called A Church Under Repair. Glad you could be here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You ever wondered what it would be like to sail around the world? To sail along the California coast or cruise the eastern seaboard down to the Florida Keys And if a bit of history is what interests you, well, anchor along the war-torn beaches of Normandy in France or reflect upon the ancient shores of Israel and Egypt. Sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? Well, our current featured resource is a masterfully written account of personal travels. It's called Now I See. That's spelled S-E-A. And it's Spiritual Life Lessons by award-winning author Jenny L. Cote.
These are stories and analogies and devotions regarding your walk with God from a sailor's perspective. Storms, rough water, wind, the elements, and the power of God to provide.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea. It's written by Jenny L. Cote, and it's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.